caught by Boquist, and he does an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown for Boquist, and that could be Jerk Tanger. Feeney cuts inside. Feeney on his feet. Feeney's in. Touchdown, Trey Feeney. Touchdown, North Dakota.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm from the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast. With your hosts, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
A new season, new facilities, and a new staff, new players. That's why we're here, and that's why we do it every week. It's UND Football 360 Podcast. Tank McNamara, Kelly Howe, and Matt Nelson here. And guys, boy, there's a lot of question marks going into this season, but it's an exciting time to be a UND football fan.
It's exciting, and we're glad to be back, and I love this time of year. The smell of fall is just coming on, and it's football season right around the corner, and things couldn't be better.
Well, there's no better time for us to be doing this show than 2024 UND football, guys, because there are question marks abound about the program just from, you know, portal losses, graduation losses, young guys. There's a lot of intrigue and a lot of good vibes up there. Guys, I was up there the other day. Good positive energy in the program right now. Seems like, you know, it seems like they're set. They're having a good camp. No injuries yet. I'm knocking on wood. But, yeah, things are going well up there.
What's the number one goal out of fall camp besides staying healthy?
Well, as we'll get into later, I think it's finding a quarterback, Tank.
That would be your number one?
I would say number one, yeah. With a bullet, right? Yep. Yeah, let's find a quarterback or two that we need. And then let's find an O-line.
O-line,
you know,
yeah.
That's a big thing. As long as everyone stays healthy, we already got that covered. Then we're going quarterback and O-line, and, you know, see where the chips fall.
Well, we'll dive into this throughout the season and throughout the podcast here today, but I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to be part of this. Grew up in Hillsboro, and I think I was at my first UND football game before I was out of diapers. Memorial Stadium, the dirt track, the grass field. Spent a lot of Saturdays up there as a kid, and took that into my adult life. Was able to work with the Fighting Sioux Football Radio Network. It was the Fighting Sioux Football Radio Network when I was there. And I've been away from the program for a few years, but still a lot of friends up in Grand Forks with the program, and excited to be part of this with you guys this year.
Oh, we're lucky.
Lucky to have you. I mean, it's mutual for sure. And, you know, Kelly and I joke that we'll be doing this until we're old and gray and up
which
in the
is
stands.
Now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's starting now.
Yeah.
And we're going to be UND fans and football fans till we're old and gray and sitting in this. We're going to be old grizzly guys in the stands shaking our fists.
So. Yeah, it really is a place where we'll dive into what's going on in Grand Forks with the team right now. We'll give our analysis, a little bit of commentary. That comes with the territory,
yep.
And also a look ahead to each week's game and the upcoming season at the year-end podcast. But you can't do these podcasts without sponsors, and boy, we've got some good ones. And Kelly, some that have been faithful since day one.
Rumor Sports Bar and Grill, you all know it in Grand Forks. Billy and the crew up there, that place has evolved every year, and it's kind of become... I was talking with a few buddies of mine. It's become the epicenter of the sports bar scene in Grand Forks. And, you know, we love to be a part of it. I think we started, was it 7 years ago with Billy, probably to this point? So, yeah, he's been a proud sponsor. We stop in there all the time, have fun. And then Development Homes Gaming. You know, with her, they go side by side because Janelle over at Development Home, she runs the gaming, and, you know, they're all in there together, and everybody knows that that's the horse racing simulcast headquarters of the whole region, pretty much, if you want to go put your bet on the ponies.
If you're looking for more than a cold beer, Rumors will have you covered.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking to
win a ton of free money. I mean, they're just giving it away there.
What's this, Kelly Howe? Is that an agency? Not sure on that one, but
that's right.
You're in the insurance world now. Is this year two for you?
Yep, year two. Year two at Nodak Insurance. It's going well. I like it. It's been a good change. Big learning curve. It's not. It's definitely not the engineering world, but it's been fun. Gets me out. Gets me talking, meeting with people, and seeing if I can help them out. And yeah, it's been a. It's been a good change for us. So, yeah, I'm proud to, you know, sponsor the show, obviously, because I'm proud of this product that we put out.
If I was looking to shop some rates, a phone call to you would take care of me?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. All right, we can do
no
that.
No doubt about that, Tank.
Toasted Frog. Mm. Is there a better place? I mean, wow. If you're looking for a good dinner on a Friday, Saturday night, Toasted Frog does it for me.
And fried pickles, man. Those are, like, my favorite when I go there. They have the best apps in the world, so certainly check out the Toasted Frog. And you got a couple locations, so no matter where you're at on I-29, you can go to Fargo or Grand Forks, and it's a great place to stop.
Toasted Frog is very popular after the games, too. I know I hear from parents all the time. As soon as John Holth reached out, you know, for a sponsorship, he... you know, we got it going, and then all of a sudden we started getting feedback from people that, hey, yeah, we go there after the games all the time. We love it. That's our number one spot in Grand Forks. They get in town Friday night for the games and hit Toasted Frog, downtown Grand Forks, obviously downtown Fargo, too. So,
guys are making me hungry.
Right, I am.
And thirsty. Yeah. American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. It's I do promotional products, corporate apparel, tanklogo.com. You can find all your needs there. Also, some I bet you guys wish would have been around when you were playing, the 1883 Collective. That's the new UND NIL source, and I'm sure we'll probably dive into more of that as we go through the season, how the NIL all works in college football. But these guys have put together quite the organization in a short amount of time.
They have. John Holth, Matt Bonzer. They've done a heck of a job setting it up. And I've heard from multiple people, too, got back to me and said, hey, they did it the right way. You know, we know we've dealt with these things before. Or we're kind of learning about them, and they seem to set it up correctly. They went and talked to multiple people, got feedback first. Hey, how are you doing? You know, FBS-type programs. So they didn't just jump into it, start a website. You know, they did it the right way. And, yeah, I'm proud, very proud to be associated with them.
And for all of our listeners, it's a great way to support your team and your program. And through that collective, no matter what you do, what type of business you're in, you can support the 1883 Collective in a multiple different ways. So it's a great asset that we have up at UND.
So you guys, just for the record, would have been okay grabbing a little extra cash during your playing days?
I don't know. I probably would have been worth about a Snickers bar. I don't know.
Hey, wow.
Kelly, he's an All-American, so I mean...
Hey.
I would have been driving a Cadillac around.
All that money would have gone straight over to Kelly's in the Hub. I'll tell you that right now. It would have been blackjack at the El Rocco, Kelly's in the Hub. That's all it would have been. So.
And then Interstate Industrial, Steam Cleaning and Painting in the Bakken Oil Fields. Marty Shade, the Shade name, ties with UND football. Great. So we want to thank all of our sponsors for making this possible during this football season. Now, we mentioned new facilities. I've been hearing about this for the last 50 years at UND, even though I'm only 47, but the last time I went through Memorial Stadium before they tore it down, you could definitely see we needed this in a very bad way. It's taken a little bit of patience, but I know, Kelly, you were up there yesterday. Give us a quick rundown of what you saw up there yesterday.
Yeah, unbelievable, you guys. From where it came from what Matt and I were a part of back in the day with, you know, the folding chairs in the back room. That was the meeting room. Quick, everyone put out a folding chair and sit down. You know, it had space for 50, and somehow we got 90 in there type of thing. And now the updated meeting rooms, if you go out to our UND Football 360 Twitter account, you can see the pictures I took yesterday, and one of them is that meeting room, team meeting room. Plus, it drops down. There's a wall that drops down halfway in between, so the offense can be on one side, defense can be on the other side, soundproof, each with their own big screen in the front. And then you get to phase two of the High Performance Center. So now you're that's going to be done around Christmas, I think, right after Christmas. So the team locker room will be back in there. New turf on Memorial Stadium. So that the track will come next, and when the track's done, that'll pop real nice. I mean, it's the old track from this 80s or whatever.
Yeah, that was. Probably one of the probably 87 after the flood, right? Didn't they have to did they replace the track after that?
In 97?
Yeah,
I think.
Did they do the track? Okay. Yeah, and it looks like it. It's full, but it doesn't matter. I mean, we know they're doing it, but they got brand new turf. So the team yesterday at the scrimmage was out on the grass. So they prepped next to the train tracks, which they've redone completely with, they crowned it, brand new grass, thick grass. I mean, far cry once again from what we were on back in the day with the gopher holes and the triple swales running through the middle of it. There was no crown, that's for sure.
So you guys both spent a lot of hours out there on Memorial Stadium. Did it feel like you were in the same place, or is it totally different? Because, like, when I walk around U.S. Bank Stadium down in the cities, it didn't feel like the Metrodome was even there, right? It's totally different.
The only reason I know where I'm at, and I make jokes about this on Twitter every time, is that scoreboard. The scoreboard is still up, you guys. It's unbelievable. And I said this, a few months back, I said, Milbank Mutual. Yep. I think they were somehow they sponsored UND football's scoreboard, but it said out of South Dakota. Whatever. However that works. And then Rydell Cars. Rydell has had that sign up there. I don't know. What are we talking? Mid-80s? Early 80s? I don't even remember.
At least. You see it in the Football America video, that Rydell, and that was, what, 95?
Oh, yeah.
It was there well past before that, I know.
Yeah, and that scoreboard is still up there. So, yeah, when I walk by, they got the all-time ROI in the history of advertising.
There. Just what will it do for recruiting? I mean, they all like the bells and whistles. And, yeah, it's for the guys there, but it's also for the guys they're bringing on campus, right?
Well, I think it's already shown up this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. And I can speak. Dolaris was just starting. I think it was called the Aurora. I was being recruited in 98, 99, and they were talking about building the Aurora Center. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool, you know? And so it's certainly an attraction for prospective athletes. And like, oh, wow, a couple of years I'll be able to play in this. And then when you have new facilities like that, it just creates an excitement around your program. And when you have all the bells and whistles like they put in, it just adds some swagger to your program. And you know, to be honest, like if you're competing against other schools, other programs, you got to have all that stuff. And, you know, you got to be able to compete on the field and off the field.
It sounds like the pieces are in place. Now we just got to carry it over to the field. Did they have an update when the locker rooms will be done up there?
I always heard December, January. That's phase two would be done December, January. That's the weight room as well.
Should be ready for spring ball then.
So the training staff, weight room, track and field would be in there too, along with them.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big boost for the track program as well. And then the softball field across the street. What an unbelievable softball field, you guys.
I was saying, they signed the right recruit a few years ago for that project, right?
Heck of a gift.
One of the players' families, right, donated the money for that.
It's going to be beautiful. I drove by northwest facing. So, you know, the batters would never, you know, look into the sun type of thing. If you're a fan, you're sitting there, you know, you're facing northwest, you're facing the sororities or across the street, you know, that type of thing. So,
and what I liked, and I think this will bring in some students on a nice day, is that little party deck out in the outfield. Yeah. I think that'll take off. I mean, softball is a great sport to watch. So I think bringing that on campus is going to bring more people involved for that softball team, and they deserve it. So,
yeah, they've been through a lot.
Well, the fun part about this time of year is we get to sit and put our opinions on who's going to be starting and who's going to be playing, but you get to do it on a bigger level as well, and that's the Missouri Valley Football Conference preseason poll and teams. First off, guys, any surprises that on the team side that stick out to you?
I think it landed pretty much how I anticipated anyway. I mean, of course, South Dakota State off a national championship. They got you know, they graduated a bunch of guys, but boy, they're 2 and 3 deeps last year were still really good, and they have the same coaching staff for the most part. You know, they're on a roll right now with their program, and Brookings is excited. It's a tough place to play at. They have a good schedule. Of course, they come up here this year, but I really no surprises. In North Dakota State, I mean, they have a good program too. So, I mean, there's no for those to be the number 1 and 2 picks in the Missouri Valley. That's no surprise at all.
South Dakota people are either they're right at number 3 or maybe not ready for that quite yet.
The thing with South Dakota is, you know, they're kind of like us where they're one good year and then down, you know, or, you know, they surprise quick, flash quick, and then they were down for, you know, I think Strevler got them that playoff win or two that year, and then they've been down. I mean, they didn't do much for 3 or 4 years. They wanted Bob, as we call him, they wanted him fired. You know, and just because they weren't winning, but he's a good coach. Now, last year, they put it all together and won some tight games, won their opening round playoff game. It was over Sac State after they beat us. We would have played them. And, but nine starters back on offense. I think that's what people are seeing.
They got Bauman back, too, right, as quarterback?
Yep, correct.
So strong number 3, and like you said, they're always just that one game away. And then, you know, Buick Bob, as we call him. I mean, he's still at the helm down there. So, I mean, he's got all sorts of tricks up his sleeve. So, who knows?
Yeah, Southern Illinois at 4 was a bit surprising just because they lost so much. You know, they reloaded. They had a lot of transfers come in again, but they lost some. And little surprise, but they were good. They were good. That defense was really good last year. So, I guess, you know, you could easily put them. The thing about the Missouri Valley, 3 through 8, I don't know.
It's a toss. You could all put them. Rotate them all, and it would still look good. You mentioned the transfers. You know, back in the day when you'd see a team bring in a lot of transfers, it took a long time for that chemistry to go, and they never really gelled. Has that changed now with the portal? Is it getting easier? Because
I think
you can lose half your squad in one season now.
I think kids are used to it, and I think it starts with the kids that are playing in college now, and I'm thinking about my own kids too. How many different travel teams are on? You're always playing with a different team. Like, my son plays on 3 different baseball teams throughout the year. So that chemistry, I think, is learned quicker for these younger athletes today. And I think they're used to going into different mixes, and then that's just how it is.
You can see some of the teams, though, do look a little sluggish right away. You know, like your typical ones with transfer, like Youngstown brought in a lot. They might look sluggish the first couple games, but then they're a completely different team, you know, later on in the year. So there is something to be said for that tank, yes. But to Matt's point, they're more used to it. You know, it's not back where you were with a program for 4 years and then moved 1,000 miles away. Well, yeah, that might be a little different, you know, but I don't know.
UND at number 5, when you saw that, were you like, I can see that, or wow, that's a little higher than I thought, or we should be up a little more?
I want to be offended, but I think it's fair. I think, you know, just with the question marks that we have on our program, and then people, to be fair, people from the outside of the program looking in and looking at what we have, how we did at the end of season last year, and then who we return, some of the question marks that we have on our depth chart. I think it's a fair spot. I think it's something to be motivated by as a player for us, where, like, hey, we're better than this. And to climb up those rankings throughout the season.
Yeah. I'm going to say Illinois State, Youngstown State, Northern Iowa, Missouri State, Indiana State, Murray State round out the preseason poll. I guess after UND, which team scares you the most out of those teams at the bottom?
Illinois State. They're going to be pretty good. They could have easily beat us last year. I mean, we pulled it out. We pulled it out late, you know, home field, and we won it, you know, credit to us. We won the game, but they were pretty good. And they got, they returned most of the starters. And, you know, their defense, I think they returned the majority of the entire defense. And their defense is always good because they always have, they look different on defense. I mean, they got some big dudes. They always are good up front. And they're a tough team to play against. I think Illinois State will take a leap this year. Youngstown, they lost their entire defense. And entire, I literally think it was the entire. I don't know. I got to dig a little deeper, but I was doing some reading. I think they all transferred out. They all hit the portal, and they brought in a ton of new guys. So to even try to speak to Youngstown defensively is impossible. Offensively, they return a bunch of pieces. So
how'd you like to play them in week one, not knowing any of the personnel?
Yeah, Northern Iowa, I don't know. Again, I get lost with them, I'm assuming. Same as usual, Farley, you know, it'll be...
It's a game on the schedule, right?
Their OC left. Their OC was there for spring ball, I think, and then left. So they got another... Oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on down there. I'm just... They're kind of in that phase where I'm assuming they're just going to win six or seven games and be, you know, be quite formidable, especially up front and... have some playmakers in the secondary like they always do.
Yeah, I think looking individually for UND, Bo Bellquist, first team, I don't think anyone's shocked there, right?
Nope. No. It was a good honor because there's quite good receivers in this league. So for Bo to be on that list is a heck of an honor. That was our only first teamer. You know, Jaden Norby, Wyatt Pettigo, second team, well-deserved. They're both very good players. Pettigo, that guy gets everything out of his ability. Everything. And he gives it all game. I don't know if he comes off the field, really. He might. I mean, if they force him off in for one series, he comes off. But he played the entire year. And remember the play down at South Dakota? Chased the guy down, punched it out at about the half-yard line.
And recovers it.
And recovers it. Force fumble. Fumble recovery. And they lose 6 points. I mean, that kept us in the game.
If he does it all, he would have ran it back for six.
Yeah,
right?
I probably should have scooped it. Yeah. We'll bring that
we'll
up.
We'll let it slide on that one. Yeah. You know, a couple more offensive guys get some honorable mentions. But is there anyone that should be on this list that isn't?
I don't. You know, I looked at that. I don't think so. It's fair. You know, Z-Barth. He had a heck of a year, but there's so many good running backs. It's like, you know, where do you even put him? You know, because he splits carries. So if Z-Barth didn't, you know, if we didn't have Isaiah Smith and Sawyer Seidel coming in at times, if we didn't have that, you know, his numbers would be a lot bigger. But you saw what you have with Z-Barth in some of those games, especially the NDSU game. I mean, he was an absolute...
He played at another level that day, didn't he?
Didn't you call him a Warhammer?
Yeah.
I think he was a Warhammer, yeah.
He was really good, so we're lucky to have him back. And Seth Anderson, yeah, he's a good player. Good, solid tackle for us. We're lucky to get him to transfer in, and he's back.
Much about him on his leadership abilities? Because that offensive line is going to need someone to step up, and I think everyone's looking at him. Does he fit that role?
I've heard his name, and I've heard Caleb Olson. Yep, Caleb Olson, I heard, is one of the leaders of it, you know, a Lisbon product, and hasn't played much, but he's going to play this year. And, you know, those are the two guys, I think, that are the leaders of the offense, and they're the only ones who have, you know, really anybody can look to because they're older. And the rest of these kids that, we're going to get to in our preview, the rest of them, boy, they're young. Ooh, this team is young, guys. I think, what was it, 16 seniors? I counted 16. So there's teams that say they got 30 in the 30s of seniors.
Especially guys still having those COVID years. So, right?
Right.
We're getting down to the last bit of it, I think. Because, Tommy Schuster had his COVID. He still had a COVID year, correct? Right. Plus his graduation transfer. But, yeah. It's hard to keep track of where these guys are class-wise because of it. So, yeah, it'll be a fun season. The Missouri Valley Football Conference is always entertaining. Maybe a week or two you can look at it going, okay, we got this, but pretty much week to week, you got to bring your hard hat and lunch pail to work with you. Hey, we can sit and analyze all we want, but we know a guy that goes to practice every day, was at a scrimmage this week, and we're going to get his opinion on how things have gone. On the line with us right now is a special guest, a guy that spends more time at UND football practice than most. It's Tom Miller from the Grand Forks Herald, the longtime beat writer for UND football. And Tom, there's a lot of questions about this team coming into 2024. What's that vibe up there right now like?
Yeah, that makes it fun for me, at least at fall camp. You know, when you've got four offensive line jobs up for grabs, a three-man quarterback race, a brand new defensive line, safety group. there's a ton to keep tabs on, and it's been a fun fall camp with the new setting there, with Memorial Village 1 being built, in the process of building the addition with the weight room and whatever else is over there connected to the Pollard. So it's been a fun fall camp in that way.
Hey, Thomas Kelly, have you ever seen a camp like this where so many position groups are up for grabs, yet so many position groups are still unknown, and it's August 14th?
No, and I feel like what's rare too is the new having a new offensive coordinator and a new offensive line coach. You know, what was maybe an established, you know, if you had a feeling for guys' career arcs, sometimes if you have a new coach at that position, you see guys take on different paths. You know, we saw that with, you know, maybe Gavin Zbarth breaks out anyway with a new running backs coach. But I think he felt like he got a brand new opportunity when Coach Kirkwood stepped into the mix. So, getting a handle on all that, new coaching staff, new personnel, there's been a lot to sift through.
Yeah, speaking of the new coaching staff, Isaac Frickte, bringing his offense from Winona State. From what I'm gathering, and I don't know if you've been able to watch much of it, I don't know how fast they go, but sounds like no huddle for all the UND fans. I'm hearing it's going to be a no huddle, similar to Illinois State, I would say, what they did to us last year, kind of, you know, always at the line. But whether they go fast or not is just up to them. But it's kind of, in a sense, get the defense to, you know, send a call in quick just in case type of thing. I mean, have they showed you glimpses of how fast it can go or the speeds they'll run at?
Not fully. You know, it's hard to tell what are they simulating as a hurry up mode, whether it's a 2-minute drill or this is what they want to do fully. But I do know, you know, when I was talking to Sean Kostich, the tight ends coach, he talked about Quincy Vaughn dropping from 260 to 250, and talking about being a hurry up offense and how that'll be a little better on the joints and maybe allows the program to increase his volume. So I'm curious to see, you know, be interesting to find out if they encouraged, you know, offensive linemen to trim down at all, if that was across the board at all in terms of wanting to play fast and play light. But we've seen parts of it, you know, guys getting up quick, especially quarterbacks. Once they make that throw, I think they're kind of simulating, you know, rushing down the field.
Well, we hit you with a few softballs, Tom. Now it's time to get into it. Who's the starting quarterback anyway? No, just kidding. Hey, but
absolutely.
God, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, there's three of them, isn't there?
And I don't know. And I honestly don't think Isaac Frickte knows. I don't think Bubba Schweiger knows. I don't think the personnel anywhere knows. I think it changes day by day. I thought I had a pretty good pulse on it from practice about 4 to 7, 5 to 8, something like that. It felt like Simon was really separating from Trey Feeney and Jerry Kaminsky. I would say over the last few practices, I've kind of maybe modified that take a little bit, and it feels more like, you know, Trey Feeney and Simon Arumfo are on pretty similar ground right now. You know, if I had to Vegas odds, I would say, like, if you go to Iowa State today, do you start Trey Feeney with the assumption that there's packages cooked into that game plan with Simon, with the way he can run the football and providing maybe a change of pace there? That wouldn't surprise me. I think Jerry's consistency is just a touch behind those other guys. And I think you just see, like, the fact that Simon and Trey have been in the program for 3 years and Jerry's in year two.
Is it hard for these guys to get consistency when it seems like one minute you're playing with the first team and then next minute you're playing with the third team? It seems like they've been all over the place this fall.
Yeah, I think especially if you're going to start thinking that Simon is a viable full-time starting option, I think you're going to want him to start collecting a little more reps with Bo Belquist, getting a chemistry with Bo Belquist, getting a chemistry with, you know, if Ben Bucks is your starting center. You know, I think you'd like to make sure that those snaps are happening. So, you know, maybe they use the scrimmage here as kind of a reset point. I'd be curious to see if if they streamline some of those first team reps here with what they want to go forward with at Iowa State.
Well, and you bring up O-line, which was my next topic. Obviously, you know, they lost the three guys to the portal this winter, lost Ventrelli, you know, who just graduated. So four guys gone, and now it's real young other than Seth Anderson out there. You brought up the, you know, the flow, the camaraderie. They got to get, the quarterbacks got to get in sync with those. Well, those guys got to get in sync. Now the quarterbacks are playing with multiple O-linemen randomly. I mean, I was up at the scrimmage with you yesterday, Tom, and, you know, the O-line groups were just mixed and match coming out there. Well, you know, there's something to be, you know, said for the quarterback play too. You know, if they, I suppose we can't judge them too harshly when they're constantly being, you know, revolved in and out of different groups. And like you said, centers number one, but for the O-line, Tom, you know, I made up my mock depth chart, which means absolutely nothing, folks. Okay, I just had to guess. All right,
it means something to me though, yeah, Kelly. Right, thanks for the effort. You know?
But I made up. Okay, so here's what I got. I think we can put Jack Kuntz at what, left guard? Is that safe
to
say?
Yeah, he's been playing consistently. Yeah.
Jack Kuntz there, Seth Anderson at right tackle. Okay, so we got two. So we're doing a little better. You know, it's not five. Five aren't up for grabs. I think we got two guys solidified. Then I had Thaden at left tackle, Bucks at center, Caleb Olson right guard. But then now I know they're mixing and matching. Try to expand on those positions for us, Tom, a little bit with the Bucks, Olson, you know, that, and then Teeter, you know, those guys, how they've been moving them around.
Yeah, I feel like the two guys that they're really, you know, flirting with there is, you know, Liam Beecher at left tackle has probably taken more reps in the last few practices than Thaden at left tackle. I would say at center, they're trying to figure out where Buxa is used best. But I also feel like, you know, a little bit of coach speak where we got to get our centers and our guards, you know, playing multiple positions in case something happens. So I'm also trying to kind of gauge what they're trying to accomplish there. But there are times where you see a Carter Gorder, the Iowa Central, I believe, junior college transfer. When he comes in at center, I've often seen Ben Buxa bump out to guard for Caleb Olson. So those seem to be the spots, you know, should Carter Gorder be in the mix is something they're trying to figure out. And Beecher and Thaden have been rotating fairly consistently, but I would say that lately they've been leaning towards Beecher.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, they've in the past, they've played multiple alignment guys. So, I mean,
right. You know. Well, in history proves that at some point in this season, somebody may get an injury. Somebody, right. You know, we, depending on our packages, and we've had quarterback by committee too, sometimes an O-line with a certain quarterback package works a little better. So I think being dynamic on the O-line isn't necessarily a negative going into the season.
It's a good thing, but you're also trying to learn a new offense some new terminology. So when you're trying to learn maybe two, three spots on the O-line, these guys are really getting a lot thrown at them. And do you see that at times, Tom? Maybe a little mental lapse because of this?
Well, it's hard to tell a little bit. You know, that's always one of those things. You know, during the scrimmage, I think it was Grady Kench beat Liam Beecher off the edge and got in for a sack. And that's one of the things that makes scrimmages and practices hard to kind of navigate.
Wide receiver, let's transition. Bo Bellquist, obviously number one with a bullet, one of the best receivers in the country. We're lucky to have him come back. I mean, it's, you know, he could have easily left, I'm sure, like everyone else did. And it's very honorable of him in this day to come back for a senior year. So that's been a steadying influence. But behind him, you know, I'm seeing Caden Dennis, Nate DeMontagnac, Corey Ty. That's who I had listed as my top four. But then you got Nick Kupfer, Vuchiri Akeem from Shanley. And then, you know, the wild card, Dang Dang. Our guy from Four Winds I was up there yesterday, Tom, and, you know, we'll talk about the rest of this group, but let's talk about Dang Dang here, because he's 6'4", and he's supposedly a basketball player, but he doesn't look like a basketball player playing football. I mean, he looks like a legitimate polish. You know, there's more polish to be had, yes, but he looks good for a receiver, Tom.
I was expecting Dang Dang to come in from a small school in North Dakota to just give off body language that looked confused about where he should be, what he should be doing. I've been really impressed with how much he doesn't look like an obvious first-year player because I expected his physical traits to be outstanding. I mean, I knew that he was 6'5". I knew that he was a dunking machine in basketball and that he went out for track and field for the first time in his life and jumped 6'6" and won a state championship. The physical tools were going to be insane. What has impressed me is that he doesn't look like a fish out of water. Like he was not quite ready for Division I football. I think the question is how fast can you get that trust level up with the coaching staff, with the quarterbacks? To me, you absolutely have to flirt with the 4-game rule. See what he can handle. If it clicks, let him take off. If it doesn't, maybe shut him down. But you 100%, in my opinion, need to see what you have this year. I think he is a special physical talent.
Is he good in that 50-50 ball? Do you just see the size, the athleticism? That's where he can go get the ball, I'm guessing.
Yeah, body control is out of this world. Body type is fantastic. What jumps out too is like as a basketball player, you know, where Vachiri Hakimi came in out of Fargo Shanley with a basketball body, and it took him, you know, two years to look the part, especially in the bottom half. You know, he looked like a basketball player. Now he strength and conditioning, he looks like a football player. Dang Dang came in and day one looks like a football player. And so I think that has to be really encouraging and exciting at his potential. I'm sure he's not in the right place all the time. I'm sure he has tons to learn. I still think you find ways.
Right.
Figure it out.
And after that, I was going to, before I let you go, Matt, speak Caden Dennis, Nate DeMontagnac. I mean, would those two be the next guys? I know DeMontagnac's been in the system for quite a few years. Now Dennis, you know, has themed the long striding, you know, deep threat type that, you know, UND fans have been clamoring for quite a while. So what have you seen out of those two this fall?
I would say, you know, Dennis has had a good fall camp in terms of they talk about how, like, he's turning from just an athlete to a receiver. Doing those things that help you turn the corner a little bit, not just relying on some of that straight line speed. DeMontagnac is a curious case. I feel like he's been a really talented practice player that we haven't quite seen it translate onto Saturdays. I think this is the time to do it. You know, sometimes that happens. Marcus Preston was a guy who was very good in practice, and I just never saw it translate, you know, on Saturdays. And so I need Nate to prove it here on Saturdays because he gets it done in practice, and I think Cuffer's it probably in a similar mold. And Sam Strandell has been a surprise of fall camp to me. He will never blaze the 40-yard dash, but everything else he can control, he has done a really, really nice job, I think.
Yeah, I got Gross Strandell. Yes, Grand Forks Central product. Good to see he's producing. They say when I talked to Isaac Frickty, he said they might travel up to 8 wide receivers down to Iowa State. At least they're not held by travel rules. I think in that game
the conference would cap it. So when they play the FBS, they expand it a little bit farther.
Okay. Yep. Oh. So they'll bring the majority of what we have here. On our list, let's flip to the other side of the ball, guys. Boy, question marks again, Tom. Where do I start? I mean, inside linebacker, I love it. I'm good there. We're not even going to talk about it. We love Pettigo. We love McNeil. You know, they're good. They're lucky to have those two back. The depth behind them is young, but I like it. But let's go to safety. I know Cole Davis sounds like he's been out, you know, the majority of camp. He's been hurt. He was slotted as, I believe, a starter. And then, you know, Jet Sutton, Erkman, Jai Martin, the transfer. I mean, what are you seeing out of that group? Or if you had to guess who was starting against Iowa State, who would it be?
Yeah, concerned. We haven't seen Davis, despite the fact that I was told that was a very day-to-day issue early in fall camp, but still haven't seen him. And I expect him to be probably the most experienced you know, a guy you should be able to rely on. I'd be starting him, you know, week one, but if I don't see him soon, he won't be starting. So right now I start Jet Sutton and Tyler Erkman. Really have been impressed with Erkman. I think he is the body type they need at safety. You worry that Sutton and Davis gets to be a pretty small secondary. It's certainly going to be a different look than trotting out Koppinen and Buckner, who were much bigger frames than those guys. But I've seen some really good things from Erkman. He's a playmaker. They've got him back, you know, practicing returning kicks and stuff, which tells me that he's got some ball skills like that, which I like. And I still think they need a lot of help at safety. Jai Morton is also limited with size. He's an undersized safety. So that's still a position they need to address, but there are reasons to believe that Sutton and Erkman can be pretty solid there.
Makes me wonder if, you know, as the season goes on, if there is another injury or not, if Sam Ostrenga might get thrown in there. Because he, from everything I heard when they signed him to yesterday when he made that interception along the sideline, he seems like a football player.
Right.
And, I mean, if there was a way, you know, if there was a guy you're going to throw in there, you're going to throw in the cerebral football player. And Matt, I mean, is that the choice? If you had to put a guy in there, it's someone who understands and loves football.
Well, absolutely, and I think he's a true freshman, correct?
He just got on campus.
So I think we already talked about it with Ding Ding, that I think just in general that if you have a player that's coming in as a freshman that can contribute, and you have that four-game rule, it's not like when back in our day where if you touch the field, you're done that whole year, that's your whole year of eligibility, where I think we need to. If we have opportunities where we can give players experience and then get them on the field, and especially in a contributive way, we have to get them in there at some point. And if it works out, okay, all right, you're the guy. But especially if we have, like you said, a cerebral football player that wants to play, that wants to be out there, you got to give them that opportunity.
Outside linebacker, Tom, another position, kind of Josh Navratil's back, so we're good there. Dylan Bacher's back. He's got experience. So they got a couple guys with experience. Is Lance Rucker, he's obviously the bigger physical specimen of the group, you know, the most twitchy of the group. John Butch, the transfer, I believe he's Upper Iowa guy. What are you seeing out of that group with those names I just threw at you? I mean, does it look like a Navratil Rucker starting pair?
Yeah, you know, they've been swapping around. Dylan, I'm going to butcher his name, if it's Boker or Bacher. You know, who's got he's had plenty of run in his career there at outside backer. And so that's nice to have some experience back there. But in my opinion, the ability for Lance Rucker to emerge as a dude in the defense, an absolute difference maker. I mean, that I think, you know, I don't want to be alarming, but that's a program difference maker. Lance Rucker has the ability to be a sack, tackle for loss machine, and that's where the outside backers were not nearly good enough. Like, if you look at statistics from a year ago, the outside backers do not, in a 3-4 defense, do not have anywhere near enough negative plays. And Lance Rucker is, I think, going to be really, really good in this league. The question isn't that so much to me. Will that happen in 2024, mm-hmm. or is he not a dude until 2025? That's how I see it.
Yeah, from everything I was hearing, Matt, he's come around from year one to year two. Has been a huge leap.
He looks like he shouldn't be in Grand Forks.
Right.
I mean, he looks like a power.
Good.
He looks like
that's
a power awesome. Four outside linebacker.
Good. Well, that's kind of what we've been asking for the last few years. I mean, they have him every once in a while. It's just they didn't have a consistency. Matt, you played outside linebacker. I mean,
right.
That year one to year two, is that the jump mentally?
I would say 2 to 3 is probably the most significant, where you get into your sophomore year, your third year on campus, you kind of know the rules, you know the lay of the field, and you know it takes you a couple of years just to learn the dang playbook, especially with a 3-4 and the check defense and all these other things going on. It takes you a lot of time, and you know, you can write off your freshman year. I mean, you really don't absorb all that much. You're just, you know, throwing in there during two-a-days, and then you go on to playing the scout team the rest of the year. So you don't really learn much that freshman year. But that second year to third year, I think, is that big jump where we really start to see production out of our defensive players. And just the outside linebackers, too, that whole front five. I see the outside linebackers and kind of combined with our DNs and our nose guard, where that front five, we have to be solid. And especially when we run, if we're going to stay committed to that 3-4, everything works from the inside out. You talk about the negative plays on our outside linebacker positions, the Zeke and the stud. Our defensive ends and our nose guard have to give the opportunities to take up those blocks to get, and we need guys in the middle to be able to take, and they need to be aggressive enough to have to be double teamed all the time to be able to give our outside linebackers an opportunity to get those negative plays. So it's just a big flow on the inside. But I think we have some good prospect this year on that front five.
Well, Tom, I think we held you on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the nose position is, actually kind of deep at this point compared to, we've seen years where, you feel like you're just begging somebody to get up from 270 to 290 and you just, getting the right body type to fit there has been an issue in the past. But I think between Elijah Beach, Craig Orlando, and the junior college transfer from the same junior college as Devin Embry, Montre Samuels Parker, between those three guys, they've got some nice options there.
Yeah, I think nose guard wasn't. Yeah, that was a position of experience. That's what we like about that. With the youth next to him, they got the young guys, Jack Tyken across the river here at Morehead. The youth, Braden Moore, Caden Vig, Hinge Borgen, those guys next to him. It's nice to have it's always nice to have a good nose, right? And we hope those nose guards can take that, both seniors. So that would be big if they could have a big year. A guy I'm hearing about, not going to play this year, but you've seen plenty of him up there, Tom. Before, we'll probably let you go after this one since we've had you on for quite a while. But Eric Pay, a guy from Central. You mentioned Sam Strandell from Central. Eric Pay, you want to talk about looking the part. I mean, he's physically ready to roll, but he's only played. I mean, you speak to his experience or lack thereof, Tom. He hasn't played very much, has he?
Right. So I mean, his ceiling is considered super high because he's what fourth year out for football or third year out for football. Mm-hmm. He didn't grow up playing a lot of football. Central football coach Jake Schauer, I think, was able to convince Eric Pate, who was a standout basketball player at that point already, to come out for football because he physically just, was an absolute football player. He looks the part, and he's got a ton of terminology to learn, just how to play the position. But, from a starting point of athleticism, he is way ahead of the curve. Absolutely.
Well, Tom, great insight as always. That's why you've been the beat writer up there for so long. It is a fun camp for you, I'm guessing, with all these question marks and a lot of answers, questions with no answers right now. And these next couple weeks are going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for stopping by the UND Football 360 podcast, and we look forward to checking in with you during the season.
Sounds good. Look forward to listening to this thing later on when you post it.
This is the UND Football 360 podcast. It's the preseason edition as we get ready for the upcoming season. It is the part of the show where we're going to take a look at the team preview. And, a lot of question marks, but a lot of strengths. And, Kelly, I'm going to put you on the spot right away. What is the number one strength on paper right now for this UND football team?
Well, there's a couple of them. And first one I'm going to lead off is a running back. Obviously, I feel great about the running back position. I talked to Donnell Kirkwood yesterday a little bit about his group, and he just feels great. I just kind of was like, hey, business as usual, everybody back? Yep. He goes, nobody's hurt. He goes, we're doing good, just trying to build up the young guys. He goes, I know what we got with the older guys. We all know what we got. We got the ground and pound. We got the flash in Isaiah Smith. We got, that type of thing. So Gavin Zeebarth, he's the war horse and the inside, you know, they're going to, he's the energy guy. And if you guys noticed when you watch the games, when Zbarth gets going, it's kind of like Hoosman the year before.
Yeah.
When Zbarth gets going, the team gets going. The energy gets going. The building gets going. Because now you sense that we're physically dominating an opponent. And there's something about that with fans. They love to see that their team is physically dominating.
Well, and the offensive line gets in that flow, too. And they're like, wow, this is kind of fun to push these guys 5 yards back.
Right. So you got Zbarth, you know, Isaiah Smith. He's the flash. He can catch it. Catch it out in the flats, you know, get the screen game going. Sawyer Seidel, he's the speed guy. No, I'm expecting a big jump from him this year. He's the guy, they want to get him in space. You know, he can run the ball. He's not your between the tackle guy, but he's the edge guy. He's the swing pass guy, you know, that type of thing. Where we saw, I think it was down at Murray State, he started showing some burst. So yeah, Seidel will be in there at third. Then after that, you know, you get Donovan Hunt backing them up. He's a high-end speed guy. And then the young guys, Grant Romfo, had the big touchdown run yesterday. You should have seen that hole at the scrimmage.
Sound like the team guy behind him pretty good,
yeah.
Too, right?
He's a good kid. Yeah, he works hard. And, yeah, big hole, took it all the way in. Yeah, they were pretty excited, hyped up for him.
The only problem with that is there's only so many carries per game. Is that going to be the hard part, is how do you distribute the ball to these guys?
I think so. They'll just, yeah, they just got to sub them in and out. And I think, you know, the play calling goes accordingly. Obviously, you know, Kirkwood, you can see him standing down there and he's getting the, and actually Isaac Frickte is going to be on the sideline now, which is a little different. He's not going to be up in the booth like Danny was. So he'll be standing next to Kirkwood probably. And then, you know, they get the call in there. In their headphone, who to send in, and then it's according. You know, they're not going to send Isaiah Smith between the tackles all game. They will do it because he can run that way. But you know, when Zbarth is in, you're going to see your inside zone, outside zone. And another thing I wanted to touch on before, you know, since we, you know, Tom talked about the O line a little bit, but apparently Trevor Olsen has brought a lot of new blocking schemes to our offense. Now, he was Southern Illinois' run game coordinator, offensive line guy in 19 and 20. Okay. Now, you have to think back. Now, 20, if anyone, you know, was in the weeds here with UND, they remember they ran that Wildcat with number 15. I can't remember his name. Huge guy. What was he? 6'3", 230. That huge, Javon Williams, I think his name was. They ran a Wildcat, and he was a part of that. Trevor Olsen was a part of that package with the, because it's a, gosh, the gap scheme, you know, I don't even know how you terminology, but they have all these little different minutiae of blocking schemes that he's installed. And, you know, they'll send a fullback across the formation at the snap, like he's a wham blocking type of a thing, but he's really doing nothing. He's just freezing a linebacker. Then you're like, you know, that type of stuff. So he's brought a lot of cool stuff, apparently. So it'll be interesting to watch, see how the running game is, because I think it will be different than it was last year.
How about other parts of the offense? What do you think will stand out to you?
Oh, I'd go wide receiver. Yeah, that'd be the only part that I could say, hey, that's a strength, is wide receiver, just because Bo Bellquist is back. They got a little, you know, Caden Dennis has played. So you got Bo and Caden. They got some experience. After that, you know, Nate DeMontagnac has played, but he hasn't produced as much. So we're looking for a little more production out of him. Corey Ty played a little last year. We saw the flash there. He's your slot guy. No, he's the one they want to get the ball to quick, make guys miss. I think he'll have a big year. You know, Kupfer, Vooch, Dang Dang, you know, our guy we talked about with Tom. So, yeah, I think there we could call that. Is it fair?
Yeah.
I think it's fair. Guys can say that's a strength.
Do you think Dang Dang will be there week one with the expanded travel roster? And really, with what he's done, they want to see what he can do against.
Yeah, they're going to travel a lot.
Good competition.
Yeah, they'll travel a lot of wide receivers for that one. So, for sure. Yeah, I think he would travel. I don't know why you wouldn't. He caught multiple passes yesterday in the scrimmage. A little hitch routes, you know, but he was getting open, little short out routes. And what's interesting is then he has four games. After that, we're home for four games in a row, which is unbelievable. I've never even heard of that in college football. But UND's home for four games in a row, so he'll obviously dress and be ready to go there. It would just be whether he hits that first, you know, Missouri Valley.
Well, I'm a big believer in defense wins championships, so let's get to the good side of the ball. Matt, what do you think is the strength of this UND defense?
No question about it. The middle linebacker position, I mean, that's where our defense starts with the linebackers. Sam linebacker Wyatt Pettigo, the star of last year, and, you know, he had so many unbelievable plays. He's back for his senior year. And then Kaysen Kelly, I don't see any deficiencies with our middle linebacker positions this year. And our two and threes, Jack Barrett's and Payne Parks, Ethan Bowl, Malachi McNeil, all those names you're going to see at the middle linebacker, at the Sam and Will positions. And, you know, that not only the front five and defense is a dynamic thing, but with those two guys in the middle, they're going to get guys to the right spots, call the right plays. They're the leaders on our defense. And with Wyatt and Kaysen Kelly both being seniors, I think that our middle linebackers for sure the strong point of our defense this year.
Well, with you know, having veteran inside linebackers but youthful defensive ends, that has to help. Those defensive ends, doesn't it, Matt? I mean, because they're always see them standing there, and then all of a sudden they run up and yell at a guy or run up and hit him to tell him to move over a gap type of thing.
Absolutely. Especially if you're in a 4-4-I and then, you know, they see something in the backfield where they shift, and then, you know, because as a D lineman, you know, your hand's on the ground, you can't see over the big hogs in front of you, you know. So, I mean, you can't sometimes see what's happening in the backfield that well. So those linebackers are integral, and having two seniors that can recognize those different back sets and what's going on, and have that visual and get our junior DNs and even our outside linebackers too, to a certain extent. Many times the inside guys are calling out to our outside and vice versa. So having two seniors in the middle, boy, that pays dividends throughout the season.
You know, a position group that that we were just talking about, that I referenced, that, you know, I wanted to cover because it's not a strength at this point, but defensive end is going to be a strength, I feel, soon, but I don't know how soon because they're so young. I mean, these guys, but they're good. They got talent. They're Jack Tyken, the guy from Moorhead. They feel he's ready now. Now, it took him a couple of years, had to develop the body, develop the mind, become a college football player, right?
Good Moore. Frame in high school. I watched him a lot,
right? Yeah.
Pretty fun to watch.
And they had Braden Moore opposite him. He's very similar to Tyken. They look the same. But very twitchy guy. He can make his own plays from the defensive end spot, as I've always alluded to. 3-4, it's not easy to make your own plays when you're in there, you know, because you're not lined up at a 7 out there coming off the edge, you know, what, getting single block. So anybody who can do that, you know, is a real positive for a 3-4 defense. Sam Hingeborgen, Caden Vig, guy from up north, northern Minnesota, he is one who is raw, but big kid. 6'5", big frame. From everything I hear, he's starting to figure it out too. So I like this group. I can't commit. Like, I can't tell you they're going
to
be great.
You need to see more.
Oh, yeah, I need to see more because they're so young.
Yeah.
But I like it. If this was the, you know, you might as well put them out there. If there were the bad part, with seniors coming back, if they're not all conference level seniors, well, now your young guys aren't getting the reps. So you play them for their experience, right? But when you got a Tyken, a Moore, a Vig, you know, right behind them, you need to develop them at some point. What better year than now? There's nobody in front of them anymore. So here you go, guys. They got to be ready to play probably 30 to 40 snaps each.
Staying with the team preview, I guess it's fun to have a new coordinator now and then, especially for the early part of the season when other teams are trying to draw things up and you're really not sure. But it doesn't sound like things are going to completely change for this UND offense, but there will be some changes. Is that what you're hearing, Kelly?
Yeah, I think it'll look the same, but I think they'll use more tempo and no huddle. I think they'll go completely to a no huddle. So Danny's offense, you've heard Isaac Frichte speak to it. He's said that, you know, I'm using a lot of what Danny had in. Why not? It worked. It was good stuff. you know. So he's going to use it, but he's just going to package it himself. And but there, the key difference is they're not going to huddle.
Matt, did you find it harder to play against a no-huddle offense?
Oh, for sure. It wears down your defense quicker. You have less time, especially in our defense, a check defense. When they're going no-huddle, you have very little time to be able to adjust, make your adjustments. So if you're lined up in the wrong gap, if you're DNs, that's where those seniors on defense come in so handy in the middle linebacker position, because if you have a no-huddle or going tempo offense coming at you, you have, you know, 2-3 seconds maybe to get your D lineman into the right spots, or it's 20 yards down the field.
How about when you're lined up and it maybe isn't that hurry up, no huddle, but it's the, I'm not a huge fan of this, when it's, they maybe take 30 seconds, 25 seconds, and they look over to the off the sideline. Maybe there's three plays coming in at different times and right. Before they hike the ball. That's got to be hard as a defense, because you got to be ready at any time for that ball to snap.
Right, and you know they set that up, if you notice, throughout the game, where that's a specifically designed play to hopefully get that defense to jump offside. So there's a little mind game going on there too, where offensive coordinators will do that to you on defense, where they play some mind games with you, especially in that third quarter. You'll see that pop up a little bit, where they're trying to throw you off a little on defense just to get you to, because you know if you got guys that are still in there, they played, you know, 20, 30 snaps already. And if you're running at them, you know, getting them to make a mistake. And that's the key to football, is having the other guy make the mistake first. So, and you want to take advantage of that. So yeah, it's certainly difficult to go against that long, long snap counts.
Well, and the other, you know, the other thing, back to your point, Tank, Illinois State did that to us last year. They ran that offense. Well,
yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
hard to watch, isn't
well,
it?
Well, unfortunately, you're going to be seeing it, because we'll do it. So that's what. Well,
maybe I'll get
up,
used
I started
to it,
laughing.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's only you know, kind of like that. Is if I think they go, they call it a 4-minute tempo, a 2-minute tempo, and then a hyperspeed tempo.
Okay.
So it's when they're in the 4-minute tempo that they want to get up there. Okay, rush up to the line. Hey, we're gonna snap it. We want to give that vibe. We're snapping it. You know, obviously they're not.
And then they all get up and look over to the sideline.
They want the defense to call something in quick and not call anything again.
Okay,
is the point. So they
want like a chess match.
Yeah.
Right?
So they want to see what they called in quick, which usually when a team is moving at a fast pace, the defense gets simpler, so they're usually just sending in something that's straightforward, not a high pressure play or anything like that, nothing, no calls like that. But yeah, I see UND is going to be doing that this year. They're going to be getting up the line, and then I think, you know, they, like I said, they can go to the 4-minute, 2-minute, or hyper, and that it gets fun when they get into the two minute or hyper, because fans get to see more plays and type of things. So yeah, we'll see how it works, but you don't want to be going 2 minute or hyper and going 3-and-out.
No.
Okay, that's yeah. The problem.
The defense is like, fellas, can you slow this down a little
right.
bit?
Yeah, had a drink of water. Come
yeah.
on, man.
No. You were at the scrimmage. Now, just knowing that there was a new offensive coordinator and being around the football field as much as you had, could you tell? Or are they picking things up pretty good?
I think it's going okay. You know, I think it's easy. I think it's easier for the O-line, too. I don't think the change is much, because what happens, the quarterback gets the call in from the sideline, and then he yells a word at the O-line, and that's about it. The word means something. It's pass run, obviously, but the word means something. So he goes up there, yells out. You see it on TV all the time. Quarterback runs up and yells something quick. Well, he's yelling to the O-line. So they're just standing there staring straight ahead, waiting for a word to come in their earpiece. As soon as they hear the word, they get down, they know what to do.
Time to go to work like
yeah.
a dog, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. So, yeah, it was, you know, it's hard to tell in a scrimmage because it was so formatted. But the true test will be at Iowa State when you can see a full series going on and see, you know, how they look over, what they send in, if they, because a lot of times too, when you know those offenses, they send a player in then.
Yeah.
I think they can run. Now, that gives time for the defense. The defense can also sub then. But you can run a guy in late when you're not huddled. You know, you can send one guy in out, but then it doesn't achieve anything really, because the defense has time. But you know, it'll be interesting. You know, nobody quite knows because in practice you don't move at that speed.
It'd be nice to have Drake early on in the schedule instead of Iowa State, right?
And maybe Montana?
And Texas or some of these.
Oh, man, that's a couple tough weeks that we got right off
the
bat.
So the schedule is a concern as we segue in, but, you know, the early on. But, you know, is it a concern of yours to maybe go until the last week before we have a quarterback named? Just with the new offense, we talked about it earlier, getting familiar with the staff you'll be working with. I'd like to see an answer a little bit sooner, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think we want to see that, but I have to believe that they kind of know who they want in that position. I think they have an idea. I think Isaac probably knows who he's probably going to lead. He's just not – he's playing kind of coy a little bit, I think, and giving everybody an opportunity to maybe prove them wrong, prove them right, so to speak. And then also keep everybody guessing, too, and let guys figure it out. And maybe – hopefully it's not a quarterback by committee. We've done that in the past. I mean, that's – It works sometimes, but hopefully we have an anchored quarterback to run our offense. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get into that first week and they haven't released the actual they probably know. I would guess they probably know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they're going to play multiple quarterbacks. That's just the way. How can you say you're going to play one if you don't even know who it is on August 14th? So you're going to see multiple quarterbacks because they're different. You know, if there was two Trey Feeneys out there, they're both 6'2", both, you know, pocket passer types, I can maybe run a little bit. Well, I don't know if you're going to play them both. You might. But Romfo to Feeney is a huge contrast. They're just different players.
And Romfo, you know, we're going to see no matter what at parts of the season, right? Just based off of last year.
Yep, he knows what he's doing. He's a good player, and he's had a good fall camp. So, you know, Kaminsky, I don't know. He's still young. You know, he's still young, and obviously this is the first taste for all of these kids in the new offense. I don't know. You probably go with the veterans first, I'm thinking, is what they're going to do. But, yeah, you're going to see multiple quarterbacks. I can't imagine. Unless one, you know, gets in a rhythm and gets going, then, yeah, great. That's what we all wanted, right?
Right.
One to take over. But he won't be able to take over until the game starts, you know, is the problem. You can't – nobody's really taking over in practice. So, yeah, if I was a fan, I would fully expect to see multiple quarterbacks.
You know, this is our areas of concern, areas to monitor report. But one thing we haven't talked about, fellas, is cornerback, really, today. Is that a concern going in, or do you feel pretty confident?
Well, we got Devin Hembry. He's a senior as a corner. And who's on the other side? Kelly?
Bluett. Yeah, Antonio Bluett, who's back. He got a taste. He played a little last year. Good body. Now, here's what's funny. Okay, I always said, you know, our safeties are anywhere from 5'11", 6', you know, in that range, 6'1", whatever. Our corners are 6'1", 6'2", 6'2". We got big corners out there. It's kind of funny. Bluett, Jamal Dixon, 6'2", Moorhead product. He's going to be backing up Bluett. I imagine Bluett's going to start along with Hembry. But Avery Scott, the transfer from West Virginia State, he's looked good. He's made a ton of plays. He'll be playing. I think this is going to be one of those situations where they're playing four corners.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. Are you guys?
Yeah. Well,
you can play corners.
Yeah. Yep. Defense, you know, you rotate typically a little bit more other than, you know, your running back position or your wide receiver position. You rotate a lot on defense. So I don't see that as a negative at all.
Special teams, concerned or not? It's been pretty good the last few years, right? I mean...
special teams as a whole is always good.
Yeah.
John Kostic
We've had some moments that haven't been great, but I feel the last few years we've taken a jump there.
We win the special teams battle way more than we lose it. I mean, when's the last time we gave up a kick return for a touchdown, a punt return? You know,
knock on wood.
opening kickoff of the year. Yep. But our coverage teams are always sound. Our return game is always good. I don't know. He does nice stuff, you know, into the boundary stuff. Last year you saw against NDSU. That's not typical. You know, you don't always block that way. That's unique. He changes it up. John Kostic has been here a long time at UND with Bubba, and he lives and breathes this stuff. I mean, it's his life, and we win. If all I can say is it's a wash at best. Yeah, I mean, for the other team. At worst, for us, it's a wash. We don't lose special teams battles. So, but when you're talking kickers, you know, kickers is the key. We need a consistent kicker.
Agree. And the only other thing that I'd like to see is that hopefully we don't use Bo as a return man all that much.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great return guy, but we need him at wide receiver. So hopefully we get another couple guys stepping in there at that return position.
He might return punts. You know, that would be the
punts,
thing.
But
he can fair catch them. That's fine.
Right.
It's not a big deal. We just need someone to catch the ball. We always do that.
And he's good at that.
Drop punts.
But,
yeah. So I'm not. Yeah, he can return punts, but not kickoffs. No.
Right.
I think one thing that I gathered from being up there is they don't know their return kick returner yet. That one's up in the air, and that I don't even know. I mean, usually that's a running back or a wide receiver. You know, you lost Skokna, who was obviously
very good. He did a great job.
Brad Wilson, too.
He lost Red. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah.
Both ran him back last year.
Yeah, two touchdowns. Once again, see, we won the battle there, and it kind of kick-started the – that was the only touchdown we had at South Dakota was –
Reds.
Wilson running that back.
Yeah.
So, but I think Elrich, he'll be the kicker. CJ back again. He did all right last year. You know, I think he came around. He was young, you know, so sophomore this year is also, you know, CJ Elrich, he'll be the kicker. And then Kenton Loffman, the freshman out of, Mill Valley, out of Kansas. I think he's in the lead for punter,
okay.
I believe. Now, from what I've seen, but kickoff, tried to get a feel for kickoff, and I don't know if Elrich is much of a kickoff guy or if he's just in the mix again. Because if you know Kostic, you know, they always had a different kicker versus a kickoff guy versus a short field goal guy versus a long. I mean, different guys were running in all the time. I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. But yeah, and Silvernail, back punter. Yeah, it's hard to say, but I think those are the guys that are in the lead for.
We just touched on it a little bit, but does the schedule concern you?
Can we put that
in one of our concerns? I mean, it's no picnic in the park to start this thing, fellas.
And
it never is.
Yeah.
Well, how many top five teams are we playing this year? I mean, we got
three
top five teams right off the bat. Two of them went to the national championship.
No, four of the top
four. Five. Okay.
We have four of the top five on our South Dakota State, NDSU, South Dakota, Montana.
Right.
So four of the top five on our
and two,
schedule.
Iowa State and Montana are the first two games. So.
And Iowa State's probably one of the top 15 FBS this year, top 20. I mean, they're going to be pretty good. I think they're third in the Big 12. They're going to be
They
got a lot back.
They're on paper, they're ready to compete this year.
Yeah,
they've been kind of one of those up and down teams the last few years too, we've been talking about.
But yeah, so. Schedule. I mean, you know, Idaho State. I laugh. Everyone knows my problems. I have flashbacks. I just I got PTSD there from them coming into the homecoming and just kicking the hell out of us. Oh my God! It was like that was the year. Well, that was 2015. Yeah, that was the year we lost out on the playoffs, 7-4. Should have got in, but the loss to them, they ended up going 2-9. And we gave up 35 or whatever. We couldn't stop them. And oh, man. Every time I see their name, I'm like, who scheduled them? Why do we keep scheduling these guys? But we beat them.
Any other thing that sticks out that you guys are a little worried about and not sure of at this point?
Oh no! I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I think we're
pretty well, and I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I don't want this to be about what we're worried about. It's just so many question marks.
Yeah,
what I mean, that's why we want this podcast to be about. Hey, we got three solid position groups. Last year, if we're sitting here doing this, we might talk about the two position groups that we're worried about. Now this year, it's like we only got three that are solidified. Now we got to kind of cover all of them and say, hey, it's up for grabs. We don't know what's going to happen. The fans don't know.
Right.
You know?
But it's exciting, too, because we don't know what's out there. Like some of these younger guys that are waiting to make a name for themselves, I mean, that's the exciting part about UND football right now is that we have a lot of guys that are in their second and third year up in Grand Forks that are waiting to put their stamp on UND football, and that's exciting to talk about. That's exciting to see. So that's, if anything, that is what's going to make this season a lot of fun to watch.
I was just thinking that after what we've talked about today, the cupboard isn't bare.
Oh,
if,
for sure not.
If it's not the right person in there in week one or week two, there's other opportunities out there.
We got a big toolbox this year for
those
sure.
Those guys that that just need their chance to get on the field. They're some of the fun ones to watch, too, aren't they? Once they get out there, they don't want to leave. Well, it's been fun, guys, giving this a preview. I'm looking forward to week one and doing this with you guys all year long. We want to thank our sponsors, Rumor Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, Development Homes, the Kelly Howe Agency, the Toasted Frog, Interstate Industrial, American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. So we've got a good crew here.
Yeah, we do. And I want to thank KFGO.
Let's not give them too much credit. Because have you seen Joel Heitkamp when he gets a little too much credit? That head gets pretty, that gap in his teeth gets a little bit bigger, a little bit wider.
Yeah. Not worried about
I worked
fired.
With Joel for many years. It's been give and take. So, no, we want to thank KFGO. And
yeah, these studios are great.
Yeah, and this everything is awesome. They're allowing us to do.
And we're going to be on Zoom, so you'll be able to watch it and see our reactions. So we got a couple new things this year, and it's exciting.
Just wait. Now we got video on when we're reviewing the game from the week before.
The great thing
the
about
size and our
radio is not having a shower. Now you guys are taking that away from me.
Yeah.
So, I can't wear a hat on this
pretty
one.
Soon we'll be at a three-hour podcast with our analysis.
But. Well, it was a great way to kick off the season. We're looking forward to you joining us all year long. Wednesdays are the day to shoot for our podcast being launched on the website. You can find that. Follow us on social media. And, hey, we just look back. We look forward to being back week one. Iowa State, baby. It's going to be here before we know it.
I'm excited. Fans should be excited. It's gonna be a fun year, especially buckle up. Four home games in a row, September. Don't plan on leaving Grand Forks.
This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.